This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Really lucky to have the next guest. Dr. Randall Williams is an OBGYN. He's been the director of the Missouri Department of Health and Senior Services since 2017, and he joins us now to talk about the coronavirus. Hello, Randall. How are you?
I'm doing well. Thank you very much for your interest in this and for helping us clarify information and just raise situational awareness. So we greatly appreciate your interest.
You bet. Yeah, we were kind of talking in the first segment about how quintessentially American it is to not get too excited about anything. It's not going to get us. It's just getting other people. So taking it more seriously now, and stock market just went down 1,000 points, affecting everyone's 401k. It's getting real. So let's just start 101. What is this, in layman's terms? What is the coronavirus?
Well, the coronavirus is a group of viruses that gives us the common cold. But we've had three instances, SARS in 2003 and then MERS, and now COVID-19, that are in some ways like the common cold, but have a propensity to get into your lungs. So certainly in SARS and MERS, that made them much more morbid and increased mortality. And in what we're seeing to date in COVID-19 is that it probably has a mortality rate of about 2-3%.
Okay, so the flu and SARS and things like that, I think we're used to it taking out the most vulnerable among us, very old people, very young people, people with compromised immune systems. But is COVID-19 showing itself to be more deadly to perfectly healthy individuals?
Well, yeah, let's talk about just the unique kind of biological characteristics of this. The first thing we look at is how infectious is it? And we use a term called R-naught. So, for instance, the flu is an R-naught of 1.3, meaning that one person with the flu is thought to infect 1.3 people. For measles, which is highly infectious, one person with measles would infect about 15. For COVID-19, it's about 2.6. So it's probably twice as infectious as the flu. Now, 80% of the cases so far around the world have been mild. But again, the difference is that in about 2 to 3%, it has led to the higher mortality rate. Now, to your specific question, unlike the flu, which, again, we worry about in pregnant women and children and the groups you mentioned, it appears that COVID-19 has more of a propensity to develop pneumonia in older people and people with chronic conditions, and not children and people with and pregnant women.
Okay. That's really interesting. I would have had no idea how many people the average flu sufferer infected and measles and things like that. So, Doc, what do we know about COVID-19 and what do we still not know?
Well, I think, again, the big thing that people are looking at now is its transmission routes. As you know, in the beginning, the strategy for containment very much involved about identifying people and then isolating them and identifying their contacts. Now, as we look outside of China, there are two issues that are raising concern. One is cases of transmission, in which there doesn't appear to be any clear reason how it ended up where it did. Does that make sense?
It does.
So that's the first area of concern. And I know that's true in Italy and some other places. And the other thing that is of concern to us is is that it seems to have a propensity when it's contained in a facility like a cruise ship or a hospital that it has a high rate of infectious capability.
Gotcha.
And so that helps us very much plan our strategies on if we move from containment to mitigation. What it tells us, and I just finished a briefing with the governor and all the cabinet members, is that it gives us the opportunity to have very robust infectious disease policies in our hospitals. And we met with them last week and talked to Herb Kuhn on Sunday, I guess it was. And we feel very good about that, that this gives us an opportunity. And to be honest with you, you know, in this day of data analytics and genome sequencing and antivirals, it probably comes down to just good old public health 101, as you said, washing your hands and trying everything you can not to be exposed prolonged or directly to people who are coughing and sneezing on you.
Doctor, this is Tony Colombo. In that same vein of prevention, we see a lot of video of people wearing the basic surgical mask that you can buy at Walgreens, but I keep hearing that that is not really going to save you in any way. Is that true? What about the masks and other ways that people can protect themselves?
Yeah, the masks are a very limited utility. Probably the basic utility there would be to not put your hand to your face. I mean, you couldn't if you had a mask on. You know, touch your eyes, your nose, that kind of thing. Now, we do recommend if you have a respiratory illness, that there probably is utility in wearing a mask so you don't cough or sneeze on people. Does that make sense?
Sure, yeah.
But the reverse is probably not as true. To wear it to prevent it is probably not that effective, but to wear it to keep from giving it to other people probably is.
So, Doc, it like you said, it is cold and flu season. At my daughter's high school, there were 70 kids out one day.
Yeah.
So let's say that anyone out there listening gets sick. Would we know if we had the coronavirus? Would we know we had COVID-19? Or would we just probably tolerate it and think that we just had a cold or the flu?
Yeah, it's a good question. Let me give you a couple points on that. First of all, as you mentioned, we're in a moderate flu season. We had a very tough flu season 2 years ago. And this year we've had 29,000 people already in the United States who've had the flu and died. And so the same things we use for COVID-19 to prevent it are the same things we use for flu. So, again, good hand washing, aware of people. If you have it, try not to spread it. That would be the first thing. The second thing is, at this juncture, and this is all very dynamic, I'm flying out to Washington tonight. We'll be at the White House tomorrow for a briefing at the White House on this. At this point, you know, if you haven't had contact with someone who's been to China or they've had contact with somebody in China, the chances that if you just develop a cough and cold symptoms in Missouri right now of having COVID-19 would be really, really low. However, they're not zero. And so, again, we would always have you just share with your healthcare provider if you have symptoms. And the one distinguishing characteristic of this that's different than the common cold is most people, not at least who get sick, have a fever. And if you think about it, most of us, when we get a cold or upper respiratory tract, we don't have a fever. And so that would be something you'd really want to pay attention to. Now, as we learn more about it, as I said, there may be asymptomatic cases. But for those people who get worse, there clearly appears to be an early manifestation of fever.
Gotcha.
So what I would tell my family and others is if you have a cold or a cough and you're concerned, just kind of keep a close eye and make sure you don't get a fever.
So, Doc, some of your colleagues are talking about in the media that we're not at a pandemic level, but we're worried about it. What, for us laymen out here, what is a pandemic?
Yeah, people have different definitions. I think the World Health Organization, but basically a pandemic is when you have new cases that are spreading throughout the world. And I don't remember the exact number I think right now, COVID-19, I think it's been in 35 countries. But I think that basically it's when you have an outbreak that starts in one country and then starts spreading throughout countries. as opposed to, let's take SARS. With SARS in 2003, we never had more than 8 cases in the whole United States. So while it was an epidemic in China, it never became a pandemic in that it got throughout the world due to containment.
And, Doc, I know you're not here for a crystal ball, but your gut feeling, do you think this will be bigger than SARS if we only had, you know, a handful of cases back then?
Yes, I think we can safely say it's going to be bigger than SARS because we've already had, you know, 14 cases in the United States, and we never had more than 8 in 6 months with SARS. So, yes, it will be bigger than SARS, and probably because that 80% of those cases are mild. You know, with SARS, people got pretty sick. It had a 10% mortality rate, and so it was pretty easy to identify those people pretty quickly. Anytime you have a manifestation like with COVID-19 where many people don't get real sick, you're going to have more transmission. But, you know, our motto here is clearly hope for the best, prepare for the worst. And we do that. We have experience in that. We've been meeting every day since January 27th. We meet every day at noon with our incident management team because that's what we do. We prepare for all eventualities, and we will continue to do that. And we work very close with our federal partners. We work very close with our local health departments and coordinate. And so every day we sit down and go what we've learned since the last 24 hours. We're developing a test that we can do here in Missouri, so the test comes back immediately, which is a big help in these kind of things. So if you can identify people in a day, that's really, really helpful as opposed to waiting for a week for a culture to come back.
Very good. Dr. Randall Williams, who is the director of the Missouri Department of Health and Senior Services. Doc, I think we all know a lot more than we did 10 minutes ago. We appreciate you being on.
Well, I hope it's helpful. And again, we have a website if people want to go to that. It's www.health.mo.gov/coronavirus, and that has everything. We update it every day at noon. We're, you know, learning new information, and we put that on there.
Great. Have a good time in D.C. Good luck.
Thank you so much. Bye-bye.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.